And although we harp on it a little bit, the happenings of 2020, we've addressed it a couple of times in this show, have altered the way in which a lot of the entertainment industry and creative professionals go about displaying their talents to the world. One festival that has had to reshape its production is the Queer Screen Film Festival, of which the full program, announced last Thursday, comprises over 40 feature films, documentaries and shorts, 90% of which can be accessed via online platform from Thursday the 17th through to Sunday the 27th of September. Joining us to discuss the importance of giving a voice to the community as well as what people can expect from the action-packed festival program for 2020 is director Lisa Rose. Lisa, thanks for joining the show. How's it going?
Oh, good. Thank you for having me.
No, my pleasure. First off, do you want to just tell us a little bit about the festival and I guess its vision in its infancy?
Yeah, sure. So this is the 8th Queer Screen Film Fest. So Queer Screen Film Fest is one of two festivals that the not-for-profit charity Queer Screen organise every year. We also are responsible for the Mardi Gras Film Festival, which had its 27th year in February. And so we are here for the LGBTIQ community, but also for the wider community. The quality of films that are getting made nowadays about people is just incredible, and so it means that we're able to have two festivals a year. Mm-hmm. And there's so much content out there, and it's so diverse, and it's really exciting. And you know, we're in a very strange year this year. I don't want to use the word unprecedented, but I just did, obviously. But it, you know, we've had to pivot into what a lot of festivals are having to do in offering most of our program online. And what's the most exciting thing for us is that it means that we can actually go national and we can reach people in regional areas of Australia and other parts of Australia who never usually get to come to our festival, which is really exciting.
Yeah, that's great. A little bit of a silver lining.
Yeah.
Do you want to into maybe tell us a bit about the planning process here? Like you said, I know it is like the buzzword and it's become kind of cliche to say unprecedented, but tell us what this year's been like.
Yeah, it's been unusual. So we were really incredibly lucky, unlike many people in the arts sector, in the fact that we had our major film festival in February, and it ended, and then everything happened with coronavirus in Australia probably about a week or 2 weeks after that. So it meant that we were in a position to be able to sit back and just sort of kind of plan and figure out what we were going to do with this festival that happens 6 months after that one finishes. So we were able to observe and sort of see what some market leaders and things were doing in that space. And I mean, doing the budget was probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do, like trying to work out what we were doing, because we are in a really unknown world. We don't know, you know, how people are going to engage with the program, but we really, really do hope that people do engage with the program, because it is actually our largest Queer Screen Film Fest we've ever done in terms of the quantity of films. We're usually only showing between like 25 to 35 films, but we're showing 40 this year. So it's really exciting. I just really hope that, you know, people are happy to still watch stuff. And we're not entirely online. There are a couple of things that we're doing outside. So we're doing a drive-in double feature.
Right.
At the drive-in at Blacktown. It's a drag queen double feature, a film starring Jackie Weaver called Stage Mother with Adventure of... Oh my God, I can't speak. Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, following it, which should be a really fun experience for our community and the wider community to like take over the drive-in of really camp films like that. And we're also doing a partnership with Antenna Documentary Film Festival, where we're screening at the Palace Chevelle a really important documentary called Welcome to Chechnya. So those two things we're offering for people who do feel comfortable and want to be out with the community and watching films. And then the rest of the program is all available on demand online for the 11 days of the festival.
Fantastic stuff. Why do you think, I guess, in terms of where the creatives come from, why is it important to give kind of creators as part of the LGBTQI community, I guess, a voice? And now, like you said, you can show it on a national kind of platform. Mm-hmm. Is this something you're quite excited about this year?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that, you know, obviously... For the LGBTIQ community, like we've come leaps and bounds in this country in terms of our rights and the acceptance and all that sort of stuff. But there's still, when you still look at media, it's not just from, you know, if you look at mainstream media, it's not just our community that aren't represented enough. There's, you know, people of colour, there's mm-hmm. the disability community, there's so many more people that need to be represented in mainstream society on screen. And so that's why festivals like ours are so important, because it actually gives a spotlight to this community. And like so many of our audience, you know, that, you know, people going to lots of festivals and lots of film festivals, like they're there to see the films and experience the quality of films, which absolutely we people are doing with us as well, but a lot of people as well, it's literally just to be able to see themselves on screen, because there's just not enough content that is made in the mainstream. And if they are made in the mainstream, they're often not told authentically from people from our community, or they're not particularly diverse, or they might be cliched and things like that. So it's just really, really important for festivals like ours to still exist and to give a voice and an opportunity for people to see these type of stories.
Yeah, absolutely. What has kind of response been like from, I guess, the LGBTIQ community and the wider public over the last kind of 7 to 8 years? Has it grown enormously? Has it kind of followed, I guess there has been trends over the last couple of years or so in kind of progression, I suppose, and kind of how the general public has kind of, you know what I'm trying to, sorry, I'm similar to you, I've lost my words this morning, I've had an absolute shocker, but yeah, how's the last 7 to 8 years kind of gone about?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, you know, our first festival that we did 8 years ago, I think we probably had like less than 1,000 people who came to the festival. And the festival last year, we had just under 6,000 people come to the festival. And,
wow.
You know, we had a couple of screenings that were, you know, had 800 people in the audience. And it's not just, like, I just have to reiterate, like I keep talking about, obviously, people in the LGBTIQ plus community being able to see themselves on screen. But, you know, from all of our research and from our surveys and from our audience feedback, it's not just for the queer community. We have, you know, most of our surveys will say that there's anywhere between 10 to 15% of our audience identify as heterosexual and cisgender. So, you know, they're just quality films, and they're just a good way to experience someone else's life for a couple of hours.
Good stuff. Is there a favourite of yours? Maybe have you seen any of them so far? Maybe a little bit of a smoky that people should really keep their eyes out for? I know you probably don't want to pick a favourite, but if there's just one, you maybe want to draw people's attention.
Yeah, sure. But we should never pick favourites, but I'm going to pick one. So I love this film called Moonlit Winter, which is from South Korea. It's a slow burn. If you like a slow burn film, this is the one for you. It is partially set in South Korea and then shot. The rest of the film is shot in a ridiculously beautiful snowy Japan, and it's just about two women who, you know, a letter brings them together from a past love that they had when they were much younger, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful film, and it's got a really lovely kind of humour running through it as well. So that's called Moonlit Winter. That's my sleeper hit tip for you.
Sounds fantastic. Just very quickly, how do people access the films if they want to go about it, either to buy tickets to the drive-in or just to watch what I'm sure are all those amazing films?
They just have to go to queerscreen.org.au.
Perfect. Thanks so much for joining the show this morning, Lisa. I do appreciate your time.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
Cheers. Have a good week. That was Lisa Rose, Festival Director of the Queer Screen Film Festival, discussing the upcoming 8th installment that you can head to the website, like Lisa just said, then to check out.